first arises, then it's not such a big deal.
He told me, I said.
He's afraid you'll try and tough it out tomorrow without him. He's afraid you'll fight it all day, then only give in when you have to.
Sounds like a plan to me, I said. Nathaniel shook his head.
Don't be tough on this one, Anita. Don't fight. I'm afraid of what will happen if you do.
What, I'm supposed to roll over tomorrow morning and fall into your arms? I couldn't keep the sarcasm out of my voice, though it brought a hurt look to his face and made me want to apologize. It's nothing personal, Nathaniel. It's not you. It's having to do it that I don't like.
I know that.
He lowered his face, not meeting my eyes again.
Just promise me that when the hunger rises tomorrow that you'll turn to me, or to someone, early, and not try to be so tough.
What were you really going to say on the end of that sentence? He smiled.
Stubborn.
I had to smile. I don't think I can just roll over the first time the ardure hits me. I just can't give in that quickly, Nathaniel. Do you understand that?
You have to prove you're tougher than it is,
he said. No, I have to be who I am, and who I am doesn't just give in to anyone or anything. He grinned at me.
That's an understatement.
You're making fun of me, I said.
A little,
he said. You saw what I did to Jason's neck, Nathaniel. What if I hurt you? I mean, really hurt you.
Jason will heal, Anita, and he wasn't complaining when Asher took him away.
Nathaniel grinned and looked away as if he were trying not to laugh. What? He shook his head.
You'll get mad, and he didn't mean it that way.
What did he say, Nathaniel?
Ask him yourself. He always seems to be able to say outrageous things to you, and you think it's cute. When I say them, you just get mad.
What if I ordered you to tell me? He seemed to think about it for a second, then flashed me another smile. It was a good smile, young, relaxed, real. When I'd first met Nathaniel, he'd forgotten how to smile like that.
No. No, I wouldn't.
Some submissive you are, I said. The smile widened to a grin.
You didn't like me submissive. It made you uncomfortable.
So you're changing to please me? The smile faded, but not like he wasn't happy, more like his expression had shifted from humor to thoughtful.
At first, but lately some of it's to please me, too.
That made me smile. That's the best news I've had all night.
I'm glad,
he said. I undid my own seatbelt. Let's get out of this car before we melt. I opened the door and knew he'd do the same. We closed the doors and I hit the button on my keychain that locked the Jeep. It made the little beeping sound and I walked around the cars to the road where the walking was smoother. Nathaniel and I started walking down the line of cars towards my house. His braid fell along his spine like a long, thick tail, moving as he walked. Cherry and Zane came out from between the cars just ahead of us. We thought you'd gotten lost, she said, smiling. You guys let everyone into the house? I asked. Her smile faded.
Yes. I hope that was okay.
I smiled. It's okay, Cherry, really. If I'd been thinking, I'd have arranged for someone to let them in. She relaxed visibly and dropped to her knees in front of me. I offered her my left hand. I was keeping my right hand free in case I had to draw my gun. Not likely, but you never know. Cherry gripped my hand in both of hers and rubbed her face against it like a cat marking its scent. The other formal greeting involved licking, but I'd finally convinced all of my cats that face rubbing was about all I was comfy with. Zane went to his knees beside Cherry, but didn't try to grab my right hand. He waited until she was done with my left. I'd also broken them of being grabby with my gun hand. He rubbed his face on my hand, and there was the faintest roughness alongside his jaw, as if he'd missed a spot when he shaved. Cherry rubbed herself against my legs while Zane greeted me. It was like being body rubbed by a really big cat that just happened at the moment to be in human form. The first few times it had happened, I'd freaked. But it just didn't strike me as that strange anymore. I wasn't sure if that was good or sort of sad. When the greeting was over, Zane said,
We've got the extra key, so we took care of the company.
They were both standing now like good little people,
All right, good tall people. Whatever.
Good, though I had no idea we'd have this big a crowd. They fell into step, one on either side of us, and I could feel Cherry beside me. I could feel her energy like a vibrating line against my body. I'd never sensed her this strongly before. Just another nail in the coffin on the Nimir Ra question. The evidence was getting thick enough that if I hadn't been so damn good at self-delusion, I'd have had to admit it by now. But I'd had enough for one day. I needed a pass on this one tonight. So I ignored it, and if Cherry felt anything different, she didn't say. It was Zane who put his face next to Nathaniel and sniffed him as we walked.
You smell like fresh wounds.
He touched Nathaniel's back where it showed above the tank top. I knew there were bite marks up around his shoulders, all the way up to his neck. I should have known we couldn't hide it. Hell, even with clothes covering it, they'd have smelled it.
What have you been doing? Zane asked. Or should I say who?
Nathaniel didn't even glance at me. He was going to leave it all to me, what was said and what wasn't. Smart of him. Or maybe he just didn't know what to say either. I tried to think of a lie that would explain it, and nothing that didn't make Nathaniel sound slutty came to mind. Either he'd had sex with some strange woman, or what? The truth? I didn't want to tell the truth until I was sure how I felt about it. Knowing me, that could take at least a couple of days. Cherry and Zane circled Nathaniel in ever-tightening circles until their bodies brushed him as they moved around him. They bumped him continuously, like a shark testing to see if you're good to eat. Come on, guys, we don't have time for this. We need to get to the Lupinar and rescue Gregory. Zane dropped to his knees beside Nathaniel, running his hands over the smaller man's body. Zane's hands slid under Nathaniel's tank top. Zane, get up, I said. Cherry stepped very close to Nathaniel, looking down at him, putting a hand under his chin to lift his face to her as if she meant to kiss him.
Who was it?
That's Nathaniel's business, I said. Nathaniel glanced at me, sort of sideways. The look was enough. I was being a coward. My pulse was going way too fast in my neck, like I'd tried to swallow something while it was still trying to get away.
If it were Zane or me, yes, Cherry said. But while you were in the hospital these last few days, we decided that Nathaniel has to run all girlfriends past the pard before he does anything intimate with them.
As Nimir Ra, don't I have, like, presidential veto? Cherry looked at me.
Of course, but you have to agree with checking out people for Nathaniel. He nearly got you killed again.
I did agree, but just not that night. That night of all nights, I wanted everyone to mind their own business. No one cared a damn who slept with whom until now. It figures. I make my first indiscreet move with one of them, and I was going to have to confess, even though I still didn't know how I felt about it. I opened my mouth to say it was me, but I stopped when I saw the next were-leopard coming down the street. Of all of them, she was the one I least wanted to talk in front of about intimate matters. It was Elizabeth. Her walk was always a cross between a strut and a glide, the ultimate hooker's walk. She strode from between the cars on Caleb's arm, and there was a self-satisfied smile on her face that said either she didn't know I was angry with her, or she was confident I couldn't do anything about it. She was taller than Caleb by nearly 5 inches. Her hair fell in curls to her waist, a brunette so dark you would have called it black if you didn't have my hair to compare it to. She was pretty in a pouting, lush sort of way, like some sort of tropical plant with thick, fleshy leaves and beautiful but deadly blossoms. She was wearing a skirt so short, the tops of her black hose and the garters that held them up showed. Her shoes were black sandals with a lower heel than she usually wore. After all, we were going to be tramping through the woods. The shirt was sheer enough that even by starlight you could see she wasn't wearing a bra, and she, like me, was a woman who needed one. Caleb was wearing a pair of bell-bottom jeans, no shoes, no shirt. The jeans were cut low enough to show off his belly button ring. I was too young to remember wearing bell-bottoms personally, but I did remember my older cousins competing to see who could get the widest bell. Even as a child, I'd thought the pants were ugly. Time had not changed my opinion. Caleb looked pretty satisfied himself. I was betting they'd had sex together, but it wasn't any of my business who they fucked. Honest, it wasn't.
I'm glad you've had a good night, Elizabeth.
She squeezed Caleb's arm.
Oh, it's been a very, very good night.
I'm glad, because it's about to get very, very bad, I said. She fake pouted at me.
Oh, did our little Nimera get her feelings hurt because I wouldn't come and sleep naked beside her?
I had to laugh.
What's so funny?
She asked. Caleb started moving away from her, pulling free. Why is it that you don't think I'll kill you, Elizabeth?
For what?
She asked. Oh, maybe for deserting Nathaniel at the club and letting the bad guys get him, which led to me nearly getting killed, and maybe becoming Nimera for real?
I'm tired of babysitting him,
she said.
He used to be a lot of fun, but not anymore. He's got standards now.
Meaning that he won't fuck you anymore, I said. The first touch of real anger slid across her face.
We used to have some real good times, Nathaniel and me.
Not good enough, apparently, I said. She strode up to stand beside Cherry, which put her very close to me. She truly wasn't afraid of me, and I knew why, or thought I did. She'd been insulting, arrogant, and a downright pain in the ass since I took over the pard, and I hadn't hurt her. I'd let it all slide because, as she was so happy to point out, I could shoot her, but I couldn't really punish her. Punish to a shapeshifter means either beat the shit out of them or do some mystical crap that scares the shit out of them. She was right. I couldn't do the shapeshifter stuff. It had taken me a while to realize why I let Elizabeth slide so much. I'd killed her sweetie, the man she loved. It made me feel bad. Gabriel had earned death, but she had loved him, and I sympathized. But she'd used up the last of my sympathy when I saw Nathaniel hanging from those chains with the swords grown into his flesh. The rules had changed, and Elizabeth didn't know it. Yet. The other were-leopards glided out of the trees, trailed down the road. Merle's hair gleamed white in the darkness, his beard and mustache silvered. He was wearing straight-legged jeans and cowboy boots with silver-tipped toes. An open leather jacket did more to frame his chest than cover it. He had a woman with him. She was tall, 6 feet or maybe a little over. She was wearing jogging shoes, jeans, and a baggy t-shirt that hung to mid-thigh. The baggy t-shirt couldn't hide the fact that she was leggy and well-built. Her hair was almost black, straight, thick, cut just above her shoulders. She wore no makeup, and the bones of her face made her look sculpted, almost harsh. Her eyes were pale, her lips thin. She had one of those faces that would have been beautiful with a little makeup, but was still striking. It was a face you wouldn't forget or grow tired of. Merle was holding her hand, but not like they were a couple, more like a father holds a daughter's hand. A comforting gesture. She vibrated with that otherworldly energy that all the leopards had to some degree. But this one made my skin dance from yards away. When they got close enough for me to see that her eyes were pale, I could also see that she was afraid. Her eyes had that wincing look of a person who's been abused once too often. Merle introduced her.
This is Gina.
Hi, Gina, I said. She looked at me, and the fear in her eyes was replaced by disdain.
She's a little short for a Nimera.
Micah and I are the same height, I said. She shrugged.
Like I said.
But her bravado didn't ring true. It was more like someone whistling in the dark. But I let it go. Gina wasn't my problem tonight. Vivian was the last of my leopards, and she came alone down the street. She was one of the few women who made me feel protective and made me think of adjectives like doll-like and delicate. She was simply one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen, and the casual shorts and striped tank top with sandals couldn't hide that. She was African-American by way of Ireland, and her skin was that flawless, pale cocoa shade that you could only get with that particular mixture. She looked sort of lost, and I realized why. I hadn't seen her without Stephen at her side in over a year. Stephen was Gregory's identical twin, also a stripper at Guilty Pleasures. Stephen and Vivian were living together and seemed very happy doing it. But Stephen was at the Lupinar tonight like all good werewolves, and she was here with the leopards. Poor Vivian. Poor Stephen. I hadn't really thought until that moment that Stephen might lose a brother tonight. Shit. Vivian dropped to her knees in front of me, and I offered her my hands. She took them in her hands, then rubbed her face against them, as Cherry and Zane had done. Elizabeth hadn't offered a greeting, and it was an insult. The others weren't my leopards, but she was. And she deliberately snubbed me. It was the first time in front of company. I didn't usually insist on it because I didn't like Elizabeth touching me, but I watched Caleb's face as Vivian rose from her greeting. He'd noticed the oversight. How you doing, Vivian?
A real Nimera wouldn't have to ask, Elizabeth said.
I squeezed Vivian's hands and helped her stand. Are you going to help us rescue Gregory or just be a big pain in the ass? I asked Elizabeth.
I want Gregory safe, she said.
Then shut the fuck up. She started to say something and Cherry gripped her arm.
That's enough, Elizabeth. You're not dominant to me, Elizabeth said. I'm trying to be your friend, Cherry said. You want me to leave her alone? Please, Cherry said. Fine, Elizabeth said.
She turned back to Nathaniel.
I can smell fresh blood on you, Nathaniel.
She put her arms on either side of his neck, hands clasped together. Her body pressed the length of his, moving Cherry back.
You finally find someone to top you?
Yes, he said.
Who?
Cherry asked. We really don't have time for this, I said. We need to get to the Lupinar. Merle had to add his 2 cents worth.
The only reason that Elizabeth treats you the way she does is that you let her. Disobedience must be punished immediately, or the power structure cannot survive, much like your local Ulfric and his pack.
I control my leopards, I said. Elizabeth laughed, planting a big kiss on Nathaniel's forehead and leaving a red lipstick print behind.
He fucked someone tonight, when he'd been forbidden to be with anyone without Pard approval. And you're going to let that slide, too. You are so weak.
I took a deep breath and let it out. He didn't fuck anyone tonight. Caleb had joined the others crawling around Nathaniel. He plunged his face into Nathaniel's groin. Elizabeth moved back so he could do it.
I smell sperm, but not pussy.
This after I knew that Nathaniel had washed thoroughly. Caleb stood and Elizabeth moved back. He put his hand behind Nathaniel's neck and moved their faces together as if they were going to kiss, but he stopped just short of their lips touching.
I don't smell pussy here either. I don't think he had sex.
Zane raised Nathaniel's shirt as far as he could reach from his knees, then stood pushing the shirt up to Nathaniel's neck. The bite marks were almost black in the starlight. There was a bite mark on almost every inch of his back. The edges didn't touch, but I hadn't missed much. It made me blush. Vivian looked at me, and I realized that she could probably smell the blood rushing to my cheeks. Zane said,
He might not have had sex, but he had something.
Caleb came around to gaze at Nathaniel's naked back.
Someone had fun.
Look at this, Elizabeth said.
She drew them around to the front and the bite mark around his nipple. They ran their fingers over it, and Zane pulled Nathaniel's shirt off and threw it on the hood of the nearest car. Everyone but Merle, Gina, and Vivian swarmed Nathaniel, touching the wounds with fingers, hands, and tongues. Nathaniel's head went back, eyes closed, and I knew he wasn't exactly having a bad time, but... That's enough, I said.
Elizabeth pulled Nathaniel's shorts down, and I got a glimpse of just how not unhappy he was. I yelled, "That's enough!" Elizabeth turned on her knees, her hands on his butt.
Whoever did this could have just as easily done more damage. They could have cut him up bad, and he would have let them do it. Wouldn't you have, Nathaniel?
I would have let her do anything she wanted, he said.
Shit.
You can't let him do this, Cherry said, standing and coming to me. You can't let him skate on this, Anita, or the next time whoever she is might just kill him.
She won't kill him, I said.
You know who it is?
She asked. I nodded.
Why didn't you say so?
Merle asked. I took a deep breath and blew it out.
Because I'm not comfortable with it yet. But that's my problem, not Nathaniel's.
I held my hand out to him.
Nathaniel.
He pulled his shorts up so he could walk and came to me, squeezing my hand as he took it. I put him behind me, the line of our bodies touching. Physical contact was a way of saying he was under my protection.
I marked him.
Elizabeth laughed, still on her knees.
I know he's your favorite, but I never thought you'd outright lie for him.
At least some of you can smell it if I lie.
I marked his body. My teeth marks.
Your anxiety level has been high since we got here. I can't tell if you're lying,
Merle said.
And if I can't tell, then no one else here is alpha enough to be sure.
It's gotten so that your scent doesn't change when you lie, Cherry said.
I'd heard of lying with your eyes, but never with your scent. I didn't know you could do that. Lie with your smell.
I think lying just doesn't make you anxious anymore, she said.
Oh. Being a sociopath does have its benefits, I said. Caleb crawled towards us in that gliding crawl the leopards could do. It was inhumanly graceful. He came close enough to put his face against my leg. I let him, because I figured that they'd get around to smelling me if I claimed Nathaniel. I just hadn't planned on it being one of Micah's cats first.
He does have her scent on his skin.
They sleep in the same bed most nights, Elizabeth said.
She was on her feet, hadn't even snagged her hose. Caleb rubbed his face against my leg.
She smells of wolf and vampire.
He gazed up at me.
Did you do your Ulfric and your master last night? Is that why Nathaniel doesn't smell like pussy, because there wasn't a hole left for him?
I tried to keep my version of an open mind, but I decided then and there that I didn't like Caleb. The pard has a right to question who Nathaniel sleeps with because he doesn't have good judgment. None of you have the right to question me. Caleb moved in one of those too-fast-to-see motions and shoved his face into my groin, hard enough that it almost hurt. I pulled the Browning without thinking about it and had it pressed against his skull before I realized it. Faster than normal, even for me. Caleb raised his head back so that his forehead was pressed against the end of the gun. He stared up at me.
You don't smell like dick. Don't tell me you had at least three men with you in a bed and nobody got to fuck you.
Caleb, I'm really beginning not to like you. He grinned.
But you won't shoot me because that would make Micah mad.
You're right. I shouldn't have pulled the gun. I'm just not used to being able to draw a gun before I have time to think about it.
I've never seen you move that fast,
Zane said. I shrugged. Benefits of the change, I guess. I put the Browning back. I wasn't going to shoot him for just being obnoxious. Caleb rested his cheek against my thigh, and I let him. My struggling would just amuse him, and he was behaving himself, relatively speaking. Vivian touched my arm.
Are you really going to be one of us?
We'll know in about 2 weeks, I said.
I am sorry,
she said. I smiled at her.
Thanks.
You didn't top Nathaniel, Elizabeth said. You're too squeamish to use your teeth on him like that.
I looked at her, and I let the darkness fill my eyes that was my own version of a beast. The look that said just how far down the well I'd fallen. I'm not as squeamish as I used to be, Elizabeth. You might want to remember that.
No, she said. No, you're protecting him. He's been teacher's pet since day one. You're just afraid of what Micah will do. Afraid of what a real Nimer Raj will do to him now that he's disobeyed a direct order.
She stalked over to us.
And you should be afraid, Anita. You should be very afraid because Micah's strong. Strong the way Gabriel was strong. He doesn't flinch.
I've heard enough about Gabriel to wonder if that's a compliment.
Micah came out of the woods with a tall man beside him. Before Micah, I'd never slept with a man that I'd just met. I'd never slept with anyone that didn't make my heart beat faster, my skin react to the sight of him. As Micah glided from the trees, he was graceful and handsome, but I wasn't in love with him, and my body didn't react like I was. I was both relieved and a little ashamed of that. He was wearing shorts that had been cut off and allowed to go ragged at the hem. A white tank top seemed to glow in the dark, making his tan look even darker. A wide leather belt encircled his slender waist. He'd tied his hair back in a ponytail, but it was so curly that it didn't give the illusion of short hair. You knew even from the front that there was a lot more hair behind him. He seemed more delicate in clothes than he had without them. Maybe I just hadn't been paying attention to how small-boned he was. There was something graceful in the way he was made. Fine bones, smooth skin, very refined, especially for a man. Jean-Claude was prettier, but he was too tall to ever be called delicate. Micah was delicate. The only thing that saved him from looking fragile was the play of muscles in his arms, the way he walked, like the world was his, and everywhere he moved, he was the center of the universe. It wasn't so much confidence as surety. So much potential in such a small package. He reminded me of somebody. The man trailing behind Micah was dark-complected, with very short, close-cut hair, and there was something about his skin tone, even by starlight, that didn't look tan. He was handsome in a young, almost preppy sort of way, but muscled and very alert. That explained why Merle hadn't been glued to Micah's side. We'd had a change of guard. Micah introduced him as Noah. I dreaded seeing Micah again. Wondered what I'd say, how I'd feel. I wasn't nearly as uncomfortable as I'd thought I'd be. Maybe I'd have been more so if I hadn't been trying to defend Nathaniel's honor. Maybe because I didn't give any sign of what we'd done, Micah didn't either. Or maybe he was as confused as I was about it. Or maybe that's how casual sex works. I just didn't know.
What is everyone so tense about? Micah asked.
Show him, Nathaniel.
Nathaniel never questioned, just stepped out from behind me and showed his back to the two men. The bodyguard gave a sharp whistle. Micah's eyes widened, and he looked over Nathaniel's shoulder at me.
You did this?
I nodded.
She didn't,
Elizabeth said. Caleb had risen as far as he could on his knees and was sniffing my stomach. His face pointed towards other things, but he was careful not to touch them. I don't think he would have sniffed my groin in front of Micah. Elizabeth was right on one thing. The leopards just weren't as afraid of me as they were of Micah.
She smells of blood, too, Caleb said. Get away from me, I said.
He smirked, but he crawled away.
Are you saying she has a wound on her like what he has on his back?
Elizabeth asked. Caleb nodded as he crawled.
Then she's lying. Whoever did his back did her, too.
I sighed. Am I really going to have to prove this?
I would take your word, Micah said. But apparently your pard won't.
It's just that we've wanted you to take one of us like this for so long, Cherry said. And now, I think we'd have believed sex, but not this. It just doesn't look like your work, and Elizabeth's right about one thing. Nathaniel is your favorite, and you do protect him.
Great. No one believed me. Fine. Just fine, I said. I started sliding out of the shoulder holster to let it flop at my back. Pulling my shirt out of my jeans wasn't a problem. Even taking it off and laying it beside Nathaniel's shirt on the car hood wasn't a problem. I was wearing a very nice black bra. It was meant to be seen.
Jean-Claude had been a very bad influence on my wardrobe. The problem was taking off the bra. I really didn't want to do that. I undid the back but held the front in place. What happens when you see the bite mark?
If you show me a bite mark on your breast that doesn't have fang marks in it, I'll believe it was Nathaniel, Micah said.
Everyone had crowded close. I never liked being the center of attention, not for this kind of thing. Give me a little breathing space, guys. They moved back a fraction of a step, and I thought, screw it. Everyone here, except Elizabeth and maybe the new bodyguard, had seen me naked. Oh, hell. I slipped the bra off and laid it on the hood with my shirt. I made absolutely no eye contact. A hand came into view, and I grabbed the wrist. It was Caleb.
Nathaniel gets to take a bite, and I can't even touch it.
No, you can't, I said. Micah didn't come any closer.
Why did you mark him?
I met his eyes, expecting to see accusation or disdain or something negative. But his face was very still. I needed to sink my teeth into something. I shook my head and looked away. It wasn't sex I wanted. I wanted to feed.
No.
Elizabeth came crowding close.
No, you can't be Nimara for real. Not for real.
There was something close to panic on her face. I could smell her fear. She moved close enough that our bodies almost touched, and I could hear her heart thundering. Be afraid, Elizabeth. Be very afraid, I said. She half turned away from me, and Micah said something at the same time, which is my only excuse for not seeing her fist coming. She rocked me back against the side of the Jeep, filling my mouth with blood and making my knees go weak. Only Cherry catching me around the waist kept me standing. The world swam in black and white streamers for a second. When my vision cleared, Elizabeth was being held by Micah and Noah, the bodyguard. I pushed myself upright and stepped away from Cherry. She kept hold of my arm, and I let her for a second while I let the last of the vertigo slip away. I put a hand to my mouth and came away with blood. Merle moved up to take Elizabeth's arm, and Micah came to stand in front of me.
Are you all right?
I'll be okay. He touched my bare arms. It was the lightest brush of fingertips, but it made me shiver. My nipples grew hard, and there was nothing I could do to hide the sudden reaction. I looked at him, and I didn't have to look up for it, not even an inch. I don't know you. Why? His arm slid behind my back, pressed our bodies together, and I suddenly couldn't get enough air.
I am your Nimiraj, Anita. There is no shame in that.
You say Nimiraj like other people say husband. He ran one hand through my hair until his fingers were tight to my scalp, the other hand at the small of my back.
Our souls resonate like the sound of two perfect bells, he whispered as his mouth hovered over mine.
The comment was so romantic it was stupid, and I should have laughed at it, but I didn't. He kissed me, a push of his lips, then his tongue slipped into my mouth. I knew when he tasted my blood because his hands tightened on my body, and his body reacted against me. He was too large for me not to feel him grow hard between our bodies. I ran my hands over his arms, his shirt, and it wasn't enough. I wanted to touch his bare skin to mine, to drink in every inch of him, into every inch of me. He kissed me as if he would drink me in, and I knew that part of the excitement was the fresh blood. I pulled his shirt out of his pants and ran my hands up his back, but it wasn't enough. He drew back from the kiss, and I pulled his shirt over his head. Just pressing our bare chests against each other was better. It was as if my skin craved his skin. I'd never felt anything like it. We held each other, both breathing too hard, our arms locked around each other, faces pressed to each other's shoulders, his breath hot on my neck.
We don't have time for more, he whispered.
I nodded, my head still against his neck. It wasn't like I'd been planning on more, but I had to touch my skin to yours. Why?
I told you, you are my Nimir-Ra, and I am your Nimir-Raj.
I pulled back enough to see his face. That doesn't explain it to me. He held my face in his hands, making very serious eye contact.
We are a mated pair, Anita. It's legend among the leopards that you can find your perfect mate, and from the first moment you have sex, you're bound. More than marriage. More than law. We will always crave each other. Our souls will always call to each other. Our beasts will always hunt together.
It should have scared me, but it didn't. It should have made me angry, but it didn't. I should have felt a lot of things, but all I really felt was that he was right, and I didn't even want to try and talk him out of it.
Richard's going to love this, Elizabeth said.
Merle and Noah took her down to her knees in an abrupt gesture that had to hurt a little. I looked at her. Thanks for reminding me what I was about to do, Elizabeth. I got distracted. I drew away from Micah, my fingers trailing down his arm as if I couldn't quite bear to let go of him. Let her go, boys. She's my problem, not yours. They looked to Micah, who nodded. Elizabeth stayed on her knees as if uncertain what to do. She tried to get one of them to help her to her feet, but they ignored her and left her to stand on her own. I took time to put my bra on as I walked back to my Jeep, the shoulder holster still flapping around my waist. I slipped it over my naked skin, and it was not comfortable, but I didn't want to take the time to put my shirt on. I knew what I was going to do now. I walked to my Jeep, and everyone waited in the dark while I unlocked the door, scooted into the passenger seat, opened my glove compartment, and got out a spare clip of lead bullets. I'd started carrying an extra clip of lead bullets in the Jeep since I ran afoul of a few rogue fairies. You can shoot the Fae with silver all day and it won't do much. But lead? They didn't like lead. Lead also had other uses because it wouldn't kill a were-animal. Only silver would do that. I walked back towards them, popping out the clip that was in the gun as I moved. I put the clip in my pocket, though it didn't fit well, and shoved the new clip home until it clicked. Elizabeth finally started looking worried when I was about two cars away. Anyone else would probably have been running, but common sense wasn't one of Elizabeth's strong suits. I had actually pointed the gun at her while I very calmly walked closer before she said,
"You wouldn't dare."
I stared down the barrel of the gun at her, and I felt nothing. It was a big, cold, empty place inside me. Utterly calm. Peaceful. But at the center of that empty peacefulness was a tiny kernel of satisfaction. I'd been wanting to do this for a long time. I shot her twice in the chest, while she was still telling me I wouldn't shoot her. She went over backwards, spine bowing, hands scrabbling at the road, legs kicking while she tried to breathe. Everyone had cleared a big space around her. I stood over her and stared down while she tried to breathe, and her heart struggled to beat around the hole I'd put in it. You keep saying I can't kill you like a real Nimir-Ra by tearing out your throat or gutting you. Maybe that's going to change soon, but until then, I can shoot you and you'll be just as dead. Her eyes rolled desperately while her body tried to cope with the damage. Blood welled out of her mouth. This time, it wasn't silver. But fail me again, Elizabeth, in anything large or small, fail any member of this pard, and I will kill you. She'd finally gotten enough air to talk. She spat out blood and the words,
"Bitch, you don't even..."
More blood.
"Have the guts..."
Dark blood from her mouth.
"To shoot me for real."
Staring down at her, I realized something I hadn't before. Elizabeth wanted me to kill her. She wanted me to send her to wherever Gabriel was. She probably didn't realize that's what she wanted, but if it wasn't a death wish, it was close enough. She lay there and healed and cursed me and told me how weak I was. I shot her in the chest again. She writhed and jerked, and the pool of blood just grew wider underneath her body. I let the ammo clip fall into my hand from the gun,
put it in my other pocket and got my main clip back in the gun. Silver now, Elizabeth. Any more smart remarks? I waited until she had healed enough to talk. Answer me, Elizabeth. She stared up at me, and there was something in her eyes, something that said we finally had an understanding. She was afraid of me, and sometimes that's the best you can do with people. I'd tried kindness. I'd tried friendship. I'd tried respect. But when all else fails, fear will do the job. Good, Elizabeth. I'm glad we understand each other. I turned to the others. They were staring at me like I'd sprouted a second head, a nasty one. Micah held out my clothes to me, and I slipped the shoulder holster off and the clothes on. No one said anything while I dressed. When everything was back in place, I said, "Shall we go to the house now?" Caleb looked positively ill. Micah looked pleased. So did Merle and Gina and all my leopards.
"You will not be allowed guns tonight in the Lupinar," Merle said.
"That's what the knives are for," I said. He looked at me as if he wasn't sure whether I was serious or not. "Smile, Merle. She'll heal."
"I'm beginning to agree with what the were-rat said."
"And what was that?"
"That you were scary enough all on your own without being Nimir-Ra."
"This isn't even close to as scary as I get," I said. He raised his eyebrows at me.
"Really?"
It was Nathaniel who said,
"Really?"
My other cats echoed him, nodding.
"Then why aren't you afraid of her?" Gina asked.
"Because she doesn't try to be scary to us," Zane said.
He looked down at Elizabeth on the ground, still unable to move much.
"Of course, maybe the rules have changed."
"Only for bad little leopards," I said. "Let's get to the rats and go see the wolves."
"And the swans,"
Micah said. "Swans?" I asked. He smiled.
"You just keep making conquests, Anita, even when you don't mean to do it."
He held his hand out to me. I hesitated, then slowly I took it. Our fingers interlaced, and we walked together hand in hand down the road, and it felt good and right, like I'd found a piece of myself that was missing. I left Zane behind to make sure Elizabeth didn't get run over by a car. We'd send Dr. Lillian back for her. The rest of the leopards followed behind Micah and me, and for the first time since I'd inherited the cats, I felt like I really was Nimir-Ra. And maybe, just maybe, I wouldn't fail them. 21. Raphael the Rat King had a black limo. He'd never struck me as a limo kind of guy, and I said as much. He said,
"Marcus and Reyna used to put on quite a show for things like this. I and my rats are not willing to make a spectacle of ourselves, so the limo."
"Hey, I wore makeup," I said. That had made him smile. We were riding in the back of the limo, with one of his were-rats driving. Merle and Zane were in the front with the driver. Merle, because he'd objected to us all being split up among people he didn't know, and Zane, because I just didn't completely trust Merle yet. Though I had no illusions about which of them would win the fight if it came to that. Richard had a werewolf or two that I would have bet on against Merle, but there was something downright scary about Micah's head bodyguard. A something that all of my leopards lacked. Not ruthlessness, more an ultimate practicality. You just knew Merle would do whatever needed to be done, no hesitation, no sympathy, just business. When that's pretty much how you operate yourself, you begin to recognize it in other people. And you watch them closely. All the leaders got to ride in the back of the limo, which smacked of elitism to me, but it did allow us all to talk together, and no one else seemed to have a problem with it. I wasn't sure why it bugged me, but it did. Raphael was tall, dark, handsome, and strongly Mexican. He spoke with no trace of an accent, or rather, he sounded like he was from Missouri. He sat facing us. Yes, us. Micah and I sat across from him. We were not holding hands. We were not casting longing glances at each other. In fact, strangely, once I was away from the other leopards, I was uncomfortable around him. Maybe it was my usual discomfort that always set in after intimacy. But I wasn't sure,
it felt different. Or maybe it was the closer we got to seeing Richard, the more I wondered what the hell I was doing. Was I really going to tell Richard that I'd taken a lover? Another shapeshifter? We'd broken up before and gotten back together, but if Richard thought I'd taken a permanent lover besides Jean-Claude, it was over. I didn't want it to be over, though part of me wasn't at all sure that dating Richard was healthy for either of us. We weren't really good for each other. Love is like that sometimes. I pushed away serious thoughts and looked at the last member of our little party. Donovan Reese was the new Swan King in town. He was about 6 feet tall, though it was hard to tell exactly while he was sitting down. His skin was that flawless milk and cream complexion that the beauty aids promise when tan is out for a year or two, but Donovan's was the real deal. He was whiter than I was, as white as Jean-Claude, but there was a slight pink flush to Donovan's cheeks, like perfectly applied blush. You could almost see the blood flowing under his skin, as if it were nearly translucent. He not only looked alive, but very alive, as if he'd be hot to the touch. His eyes were a pale blue-gray that shifted with his moods, like a summer sky that couldn't make up its mind whether it wanted to be peaceful with fluffy white clouds or rain all over your head. He was handsome in a clean-cut, preppy sort of way, as if he should have been on a college campus somewhere pledging to a frat and chugging beers. Instead, he was going with us into a gathering of werewolves where he would be the only non-predator there. That didn't sound like a good idea to me.
You saved my swan manes, Miss Blake. You nearly got yourself killed doing it. I couldn't risk the girls coming, they are not.
He looked down at his folded hands, then raised those changeable eyes to me.
They are like your Nathaniel. Victims.
Nathaniel is driving my jeep with the rest of my people in it, I said. Reese nodded.
Yes, but the shape of his beast is a predator. My girls are not. If they lost control and changed during the meeting, they would be meat.
I agree with you, Mr. Reese, but doesn't the same logic apply to you?
I am a swan king, Miss Blake. I will not change shape unless I will it so.
Will it so? I'd never heard anyone put it quite that way. Donovan Reese had a bad case of arrogance. I wasn't going to talk him out of this. Raphael had been trying to before I arrived. Micah never offered. He'd been very good about letting me do all the talking. I like that in a man. Can you fight? I asked.
I will not be a burden, Miss Blake. Don't worry.
I was worried, because I could smell the blood just under his skin. I could almost see it flowing under his flesh. He smelled like meat and blood and heat. He smelled like food. I'd been around shapeshifters that were prey animals, but I'd never realized you could tell by smell what wasn't a predator. I knew by the gentle scent of him that Reese's beast was something soft and easily killed. Something that would struggle but not hurt me. I had to swallow hard, trying to slow my pulse, but it would not slow. I wanted to drop on my knees in front of him and sniff his skin, rub my face against his bare arms until the short sleeves of his button-up shirt stopped me. A white undershirt peeked out the top of the blue and white striped shirt. I wanted to rip the shirt open, send the buttons popping through the air, take a knife from my wrist sheath and slit the undershirt, bare his naked chest and stomach. But it wasn't the ardeur. It wasn't sex I was thinking about. I wanted to see his stomach bare, to feel the soft tissue under my mouth, my teeth, to bite into. I covered my eyes with my hands and shook my head. What was wrong with me? Micah touched my arm gently.
Anita, what's wrong?
I lowered my hands and looked at him.
He smells like food.
Micah nodded.
Yes.
I shook my head again.
You don't understand what I'm thinking. It's frightening.
I couldn't say it out loud. I wanted to feed on him, or at least sink my teeth into his flesh. I think I could keep from actually feeding, but the urge to mark that flawless skin was so strong that I almost didn't trust myself.
When you told me why you marked Nathaniel, I knew it was the hunger.
Micah said the last word like it should have been in capital letters.
It usually takes a few days or weeks before your first full moon to have the hunger become a problem. It's okay to have thoughts, images in your head about feeding. It's normal.
Normal? I laughed, but it was a harsh sound. What I'm thinking isn't even close to normal. Again, I couldn't bring myself to say it out loud.
What do you want to do to Reese? Raphael asked.
I looked across the seat at him. I opened my mouth to say, then glanced at Reese and stopped. No, it's like telling a sexual fantasy in front of the stranger you just had the fantasy about. It feels that intimate.
It is that intimate, Raphael said.
I looked back at him and his dark eyes held my gaze.
If you tell Mr. Reese what you're wanting to do to him, then maybe he'll fly home. A rat is a prey animal too, Reese said. Everything that is smaller is a prey animal, Raphael said. But rats are omnivorous. They eat anything that crosses their path, including humans, if they can't get away. A were-rat is not a small thing, Mr. Reese. We are large enough to be the predators that our namesakes cannot be.
Reese was scowling at us all now. He shook his head angrily and leaned forward and shoved his wrist into my face.
Get a good whiff. All of you seem to like it. I wouldn't do that if I were you, Raphael said. Listen to him, Reese, Micah said.
I didn't say anything because the scent of his flesh so close was intoxicating. It was like the most exotic perfume spread across silk sheets with an undertone of fresh baked bread and some sweet jelly spread over flesh. I had no words for it, but it smelled better than anything I'd ever smelled in my life. I was holding his wrist, pressing the thin skin against my lips before I realized what I was doing. The skin was so tender, and I could smell the blood under that paper-thin layer of skin. I wanted to do more than smell it. I wanted to taste it, to feel his flesh give under my teeth, to have the blood gush warm in my mouth, to... I jerked away from him and crawled across Micah, across the seat to huddle in the far corner as far away from the Swan King as I could get and not jump out the door. There must have been something on my face, in my eyes, that scared him, because his eyes had widened, his full mouth opened slightly.
My God, your control really is that bad,
I managed to say. Sorry.
Do you really want to put yourself in the midst of hundreds of us? Raphael asked. I won't be bluffed, Reese said. You won't hurt me. From everything I've heard about Anita, and you, Raphael, you're the good guys.
His gaze flicked to Micah.
Him, I don't know. But I do know that the Swans have never thrown their allegiance to anyone. We've been autonomous. The fact that I'm supporting Anita and her pard will mean something to the Wolves. We are weak as battle allies, but that any animal other than her own would ally with her pard will mean something to their Ulfric.
I huddled on the far corner of the seat, arms hugging my legs to my chest, a position not really meant to be performed while wearing a shoulder holster. But I was literally holding on to myself, hugging my control and my body. How was I ever going to get through tonight without doing something embarrassing or deadly? How much worse was my control going to get?
Your last Swan King answered to their now deceased Lupa, Raphael said. So I've heard. Though technically he was a Swan Prince, not a king. I don't know what he owed the old Lupa, but I'd guess it was something blackmailable, because I've found some Polaroids that would make you blush.
I had to clear my throat twice before I could talk. Casper refused to be in Reyna's dirty movies, but the price for that was that he helped audition people for the films. Reese looked at me.
Audition? What do you mean?
I huddled and talked, but I was talking over the pulse in my head, the rush of blood in my body. I wanted to be next to Reese. I wanted to take a bite. Instead, I talked. Casper could change form from swan to man at will. Reyna used him to see if non-shapeshifters freaked when he changed in the middle of sex. I felt Micah's reaction even from a distance. Reese looked horrified.
You saw this?
No, but Reyna took great delight in telling me about it in detail. She tried to get me to watch one of his auditions, but I had better things to do.
He did this willingly?
Reese asked. No, I said. It was most definitely not his choice. He seemed to hate it.
We see the fact that we can change forms at will as a great gift. We're one of the few shapeshifters that can do it with ease.
Is that because your gift is either a curse or a born talent rather than a disease?
We think so, he said.
Casper was under a curse, I said.
Are you wondering about me?
Actually, I was watching the way his Adam's apple bobbed when he talked and wondered what it would feel like to fix teeth in his throat. But that was probably a fact best kept to myself. I kept talking, but I think both Micah and Raphael knew how ragged my control was. I hugged myself and kept talking because silence filled with awful images, terrible desires. Yeah, I'm wondering, I said.
I was born a Swan King.
You were born a Swan King, not a Swan Mane. Does that mean you're male? Is Swan Mane only used for women? He looked at me, studying my face.
I was born to be their king. I'm the first king in over a century.
Everybody else is chosen to lead, or fights for the right. But you make it sound like a hereditary monarchy, I said.
It is, but it's not bloodlines that makes the difference, though being a Swan Mane either runs in your family or it doesn't. But I didn't inherit the title.
Then how did you know? I asked. His eyes had gotten dark, dark gray like storm clouds.
The answer to that is somewhat intimate.
I'm sorry, I didn't know.
I'll give you the answer you seek, if you answer a rather delicate question for me.
We stared at each other. My heart rate was almost normal again. I could look at him without smelling the blood under his skin. Talking, listening, doing somewhat normal things had helped. I was a person with speech and higher functions, not an animal. I could do this, really. I eased out of my little ball slowly. Ask and I'll let you know, I said.
Did you kill Casper Gunderson? The last Swan King?
I blinked at him. That was unexpected. The sheer surprise made my pulse rate speed up a touch. No. No, I didn't.
Do you know who did?
I blinked at him again. I wondered if I could lie and if he would be able to tell or not. I finally stuck to the truth. Yes.
Who?
I shook my head. That I won't answer.
Why not?
Because I would have killed Casper myself if he hadn't gotten away.
I know he was responsible for several deaths, and that he tried to kill you and some of your friends,
Reese said. It was a little more diabolical than that, I said. He was taking money from hunters and supplying them with shifters. Reese nodded.
He also made the Swan Manes in his care into victims. I think that's what he and the old Lupa shared, sexual sadism.
That's why your girls, as you put it, were at the club with Nathaniel.
Yes, I don't play those sorts of games, and they've grown to crave it.
I nodded. I sympathize, I said.
You've answered my questions truthfully. I can do no less.
He started unbuttoning his shirt. I looked at Micah, who shrugged. I looked at Raphael, who shook his head. Nice that none of us knew why he was undressing. He left the overshirt tucked in, but started pulling the undershirt out of his pants. He was about to bare his soft underbelly, and I wasn't 100% sure my control was up to seeing it. My pulse was in my throat again. Since apparently neither of the men was going to ask, I asked, "Why are you undressing?"
"To show you the symbol of my kingship."
I stared at him. "Excuse me?" Reese frowned at me.
"Don't worry, Miss Blake. I'm not about to flash you."
"I'm not worried about you flashing me, Reese. It's that..." But I never finished, because he'd bared the white, white skin of his stomach. In the darkened car, I could still see the pulse just behind his belly button. Hell, I could almost taste it in my mouth, as if I'd already sunk teeth into that tender flesh, as if I was already eating my way through to more vital things. Something was odd about the hair on his chest. It was almost too fine, too thin, too delicate,
running in a dainty white line down the center of his chest and spreading in an upside-down triangle around his belly button, then down into his pants. I was on the floorboard crawling towards him, and I didn't remember getting there. I stopped, pressed against Micah's legs. I don't remember leaving my seat. I'm losing time.